Welcome, everybody. It's time again to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you today. Well, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. Our topic for today is making things better at work with business coach and speaker Lois Carson Hunter. Making things better at work. Who could be against that, okay? Well, Lois is going to help us learn four top reasons why people struggle at work and how she, as a coach for Unshackled Leadership Company, helps businesses make things better. You'll also find out about Orange County's best-kept secret for leaders in nonprofit organizations, which is Executive Coaches of Orange County, EC of OC, and how they help nonprofit leaders make things better at work and for our communities. Lois is a longtime friend of mine. We go way back to serving together many years ago on the board of the ICF Orange County chapter, and it's a pleasure to have her with us today. Welcome, Lois.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Doug.
Well, hey, I'm excited to have this conversation with you and to finally get you on the show. You are a busy person, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to share some of the things you're doing with our audience.
My pleasure.
Okay. Well, look, let's a couple of standard questions, but let's get them out of the way. What did you do before you got involved in coaching? Give us a little bit of your background.
Well, before I got involved in coaching, I had a successful and rewarding career in the food industry for over 30 years. And mostly what I did is work for restaurant chains in doing product development of menu items and ingredients. And, you know, during that time, I saw the corporate world and how it functioned, and people struggle, and, you know, they have conflicts, they don't know how to be a leader, they get promoted, but they don't know what to do, hidden agendas and things like that. And so, as a result, the morale became low. So what I did is got interested in coaching in a way that I became, as I rose up the ranks, so to speak, after, you know, my years in the corporate world, I became seen as a mentor and a leader. And with that, I started really getting interested in coaching and took my coach training. And as part of that, you need hours of certification. So I talked to people at Taco Bell, pitched them and said, hey, how about if I do some internal coaching? And they said, yes. And so that started me doing some internal coaching at Taco Bell, which led into 2009. Then I left and became a coach and consultant on my own. And then the last few years, I've been working with Unshackled Leadership Coaching.
Well, wonderful. I have to ask you, you know, because that many years in the food industry and product development, I would assume a 300-pound person, and you're a little tiny thing. What did you really do when you say product development?
So, well, product development, there's two key areas of that. One is menu item development. So that would be like developing new burritos and tacos and such. For example, I developed the Crunchwrap Supreme, which was one of Taco Bell's biggest selling menu items. And then we also work on just the ingredients, so improving or developing tortillas, the meat, the beans, the sauces, that kind of thing. So it's like you're in your own little kitchen there, developing recipes and samples of things that you would like to do, only it's on a larger scale. And they have a whole staff at Taco Bell. They have about 30 people that are dedicated to product development and menu item ingredients.
Wow. Okay, so that thanks for filling me in on that. I've always wondered, you know, I've been in the food business for more years than that, but I'm on the receiving end. I just eat a lot, so
yeah. Well, and to your point, just because you develop it doesn't mean you have to eat the whole thing.
Oh, now
that's
you sound
my
like my wife. Well, look, tell us a little bit about your business then. You got involved in Unshackled Leadership. I want to know about that, and I want to know about your coaching. Let's fill us in on that.
Okay. Well, Unshackled Leadership Company is a leadership development and training company. We focus on helping small to medium-sized organizations succeed by making things better at work. So we do this through retreats, strategic planning, workshops, one-on-one coaching. We also have books and CDs, products available. And then we also do some speaking. And Scott, who's the owner and developer of Unshackled Leadership, travels all around doing speaking for conferences and workshops and things like that.
Well, let me just say, I haven't had the privilege of attending any of your workshops, but I've read Scott's book, and it's just right spot on with my own experience in business coaching, and I would strongly recommend it to anybody. So before we get off the air today, I'll give you a chance to kind of make sure our audience knows the book and where to find it and so forth. You know,
yeah,
we've asked all of our guests for the last 6 years the same question, and we've never gotten a duplicate answer, and that's kind of, what's your guiding principle in life or in business, and what experience sort of created that for you?
Well, my guiding principle that I have now, and I was trying to think about, is it just where I am in my life now, or has it been most of my life? And I would say it's for sure right now, and I could see patterns of it as I go through. And I would say that's paying it forward or giving it back. And that was really my motivation when I got into coaching. When I saw people struggle, when I struggled in the corporate world, it just doesn't have to be that way. And so I thought there's got to be a better way. So I took it upon myself to get educated about leadership, about people, about communications and relationships, and kind of was my own little test person to see what worked and what didn't work. And then when I was coaching people at Taco Bell, that was another good way to help others see, as well as I could see, well, is what I think, does that work? And so paying it forward, and I mentored a lot of younger people there, or we'll say newer employees. We don't have to say that I'm that old, but
you aren't.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed that. I loved it. And so during that time, I also did some volunteer work for some nonprofit organizations just because I was interested in that. And when I went on my own coaching business, I said, you know what, I really want to pay it forward or give it back. So that's how I became to volunteer for Executive Coaches of Orange County, which is a nonprofit that offers free leadership coaching to executives and nonprofit. So I get to work for profit as well as nonprofit, and that's important to me in my life.
And you know, that's not that common. So I applaud you for that. That is an interesting mix, and I've been able to observe you a little bit in both roles. What do you think was the real motivator? I kind of know the answer to this, but I want to hear your answer for being in the coaching business. In other words, some people start a business because they can't stand working for anybody else. They want to be their own boss. Some people start a business because they think they're going to get rich. And some people start a business for other reasons. What was it you wanted out of the coaching business?
Gosh, what I wanted out of coaching is I just love doing it. You know, I became passionate about it. And really, I like helping people so they don't have to struggle, so they can enjoy life and be peaceful and happy. And so what you see when you start coaching people, you know this because you're a coach, is all of a sudden the lights go on and they're not struggling the way they used to, because they've discovered something about themselves, and they've also learned some new skills and techniques. So really, that's my main motivation, because I just like doing it and I like seeing people be joyful and happy in, with the results that, that they get as a result of coaching.
There's a tremendous satisfaction when you see that light go on, isn't there?
Yeah. And also, you know, there's a lot of studies out now that, that show the latest Gallup poll said only 70% of American workers are either checked out or actively disengaged. And you see that when you work, and probably you with your coaching, people get burned out. 25 to 40% of workers, the leading occupational disease is burnout and stress, and that ends up costing companies money and turnover and lack of creativity. So it's really important to keep employees happy and feeling fulfilled and good about themselves. And so coaching is a key way to do that. It just makes things better at work.
And so would you say that those statistics are really the hard numbers, the economic justification for creating a happy place? Because as you know, so many times as coaches, when we talk to people about making their workplace happier, there's this sort of attitude, well, that isn't what we're about here. How do you answer that?
Well, interestingly enough, we had one client, and he was doing very well, but he wanted his employees to enjoy life and enjoy working as much as he did, and that was one of the premises of us doing work with him. But for the most part, you're right, a company wants to see the return on their investment. And when I was at Taco Bell, you know, I had to justify that program of them giving me like 10% of my time to do coaching. And so I would do like an evaluation at the end of each year to show. And I had people who had poor performance, not poor, but they performance reviews were mediocre. They went up. People got promoted to a higher level. Their 360, which is an assessment of what people think who work around you, scores went up. And so people become more productive, and it shows in their performance reviews. That's one way of measuring it. And then clients that we work with, once we go through our program, we see significant results in sales and profits as well. So it definitely pays to get some coaching.
So you would, and I would agree with you, you'd maintain that, you know, making a happier place has a bottom line positive ROI return in terms of productivity and therefore profits and revenue and all the other hard numbers that we measure a business by.
Yes, and what happens when people start working together, they're more productive. So when you feel better about yourself and who you're working with, productivity goes up.
You know, and I know I'm deviating a little bit, but, you know, when I think of happy places to work, the ones that are the big names that are the most frequently brought up in conversations are places like Google or maybe Zappos. What do you think of when somebody says, you know, what are good examples of happy places to work?
I think those are two good examples that have been written about. And then, interestingly enough, when I worked at Taco Bell, they were voted one of the top 10 companies in Orange County to work for. And they really worked to improve their culture. And you could see a difference over time. So a company needs to want that. They need to have a focus on it and realize that there's more to your work life than just delivering on your tasks. So it's always fun to read the top 10 list of companies in any place, but Orange County does it every year, and what people liked about working there.
Yeah, I go through that list, and obviously it makes it a lot easier to recruit people, but I think people buy into that. It's sometimes a little harder to get people buy into the fact that it has bottom line return too. But mm-hmm. I agree with you, it really does. So You know, when you talk about helping people to make things better at work, and you mentioned culture, what do you do to change a place, to make things better at work, to change that culture?
What we see in working with leaders and teams is they have problems in four key areas. So that's the biggest area of focus that we do our coaching and training. There's other things that go on, but the key things that we see is the first one is a vision. A lot of companies, even sub-departments of, you know, companies, don't have a clear vision for what they want to do or accomplish, believe it or not. And so what happens is they're not focused and motivated and all moving in the same direction. So that's one of the things that we do is help people work on a vision for the future. And in fact, when I was at Taco Bell, I was there for over 20 years, I saw a lot of things kind of go up and down. And one of the dramatic things was that when business wasn't as good, they brought in a key person to be the president of the company. And the first thing he did was to create a vision for the future with his executive team, shared it with everyone and trickled it down, and that was the basis of everything we did, was on this vision for the future. So I saw it firsthand make a big impact, as we see with our clients all the time. And the second key area of focus is in listening. People don't feel heard and they don't listen. And when we do our workshops, we'll ask, how many have you ever had a conversation with someone you felt like you were talking to the wall? And almost all the hands go up. And then on the other side of that, do you think anybody who, after talking with you, may have felt like they're talking to the wall? And a lot of people admit to that too. So we have some great training and exercises that we do on listening and the art of listening and helping people be better listeners. And then the other thing we have, the third point that we work on, is speaking, which is the other side of the communication. Because a lot of people don't pay attention to really what they say or how they say it. They just, you know, let it come out. And also for themselves, what they speak about has an impact on them. So we have a big section on speaking and learning to speak as an individual and with your teams. The whole communication thing is a critical part to people working together and moving the company toward the vision and the results that they want. And the fourth thing is handling upsets. People don't know how to handle upsets. In fact, people don't like to handle upsets. That's probably why they don't know how. And it's like, if you've got someone you think might be upset with you, a lot of people just, you know, shut their office door when they see him coming, and or hide under the desk or something like that, because they don't want to deal with an upset. And then other people get upset and they don't talk about it, and they do what we call, you know, you put it in a file, and it just builds and builds until there's an explosion. So we have some really great techniques that we take people through on handling upsets. So our focus is on those four key areas. We do training and interactive activities and coaching that include the listening, the speaking, and handling upsets, as well as the culminates in creating a vision for the future, which is really an exciting part that brings everyone together once they've gotten rid of any baggage that they have and that prevents them from working with each other well. Then we work on the vision.
And so how well do you think obviously if a company did all of those things well, we're going to draw the assumption that they have then created a culture that it's a happier place to work. That follow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if they do 3 out of 4, will you give me credit for creating a happier place to work, or do I have to do all 4?
That's an interesting question. It's not really a checklist like that. It's a cumulative thing. There's a whole foundation that we lay for the company and bring everyone along. It's an ongoing process. That's the beauty of coaching, is once you you have a workshop or a retreat that you do with everyone, you need to do some ongoing coaching to sustain the learning that you have. And if you see gaps in certain areas, then we help them develop in the area that's missing. Because it's easy to get sidetracked and fall into your old patterns. That's a good point.
It is. And I said that as kind of a joke, but I really meant it seriously, in that I have actually seen situations where people go, well, you know, I'm a really good listener, but they never think about how they speak or what the reaction is or the wake they leave behind because of the way they communicate with others. And they just sort of hide behind the fact that, well, I'm a great listener, so you should forgive the fact that I'm terrible at this other area.
And I've heard that rationale. And the thing about work as a coach and the programs that we take people through is creates awareness. Because most people aren't intentionally not listening or not doing a good job. They don't realize that they're doing what they're doing or not doing. And so the work that we do helps create an awareness for them of how they currently are interacting or behaving, and then some alternative possibilities for being more effective.
Lois, talk to me for a minute about vision as one of these four areas, because I could see people saying, well, we have a vision statement or a vision that's part of our strategic planning. We don't need to be coached on vision. You know, lots of people have vision statements, but they're not effective. Where do you coach for vision?
Well, the vision that we talk about, we call it creating a vision for the future, is a little bit different than a vision short vision statement. So there's a whole process that we take people through of looking at what their company, what they want their company to be in the future, whether you dial forward, you know, 15, 20 years, how they want to be, what kind of culture they have, what they want to stand for, what products they want to sell, sales goals and things like that, way into the future, which enables them, rather than saying, okay, now we're here, we want to go here next, when you look at it in the future, way out in the future, it gives a more powerful way to look at it, because you're not basing everything on what you're already doing. So you just let your mind go to really exploring what you really want. And then once we have that, we dial it back and say, okay, well, then in the next 3 to 5 years, what do you want to accomplish? And then dial it back to this next year. So it's a very structured approach that gets everyone who in the company, they participate, usually the leadership team, aligned behind a vision that they have created, not that somebody created, you know, 5 years ago or whatever. I had that with a nonprofit. I went in and they said, oh, we have this vision, and she gave me this thing that was about 20 pages long, but she said, but we don't look at it anymore. So the team that's currently there needs to create the vision and implement, you know, take ownership of it.
Okay. We're going to come back to this a little bit. Let's go to our producer. He's waving me down for a commercial time here, Lois, and then we'll be right back with you. Don't go away. We're talking to Lois Carson Hunter today about making things better at work, something that no one's ever been against that I've ever talked to. So Lois has just kind of walked us through the four key things that she feels are really critical to make a happier workplace or make people happier. Understanding and communicating the vision, teaching and understanding how to listen better and feel heard, speaking, and making sure that the way in which you are communicating is being well received, and then when things don't go well, how you handle upsets. So once you've worked with your clients on that, Lois, what are some of the benefits that you think they get out of working with your Unshackled Leadership program?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way we look at it is there's three key benefits. One, it's for the individual. We improve the individual's worldview or mindset, is the way we refer to it, how they see the world. And I'll go through all three of them, and I'll come back and talk about each one of them a little bit. The second is improved team relations. So you've got the individual, then you affect the whole team. And then the third benefit that we help companies with is improving business results. And that goes to your question earlier of the return on the investment. So just to talk a little bit about each one, improving the individual's mindset, we talked earlier about, you know, creating an awareness, and a lot of our work is based on the book Unshackled Leadership, which you mentioned that Scott Hunter wrote. And in there, we help people kind of get an awareness and change the way that they see things, if that's necessary, which mostly it is, and they get a better perspective. So, for example, we had a company owner who was a big worrier, and the president was very frustrated all the time that he couldn't get people to work together. So their business results were predictably poor, so that just kept reinforcing, well, I'm going to worry about this, and I'm frustrated with that. So by learning the principles that we teach with Unshackled Leadership Coaching, the mindset of the owner changed, the mindset of the frustrated president changed, and the entire management team, because we work with all of them. And they became more excited, enthusiastic, confident, and hopeful, and almost immediately business results improved. And then, so then when you have a foundation for each individual, then we improve, that itself improves team relations because everybody's coming from a better place. But this is where we talked about, you know, listening and speaking and handling upsets. That's where it comes into the communication and relationship skills. And so we had, I'll give you another example. Well, we go in, and when we first work with someone, an interview and kind of do an assessment of what's going on, and we had a family company that, this almost sounds like out of the Bible because it's the prodigal, similar to the prodigal son, but one son was very unproductive and took advantage of, you know, the father, where the other son was a hard worker, and of course he became resentful and had trouble forgiving. And even some of the other employees, the same thing, as they saw that the father was, you know, giving favor to the son who wasn't doing much, and that affected the whole team. So in our retreat, we took them on, then we take them through our process, which involves learning some skills and techniques for communicating some of your upsets and things, as well as learning how to speak and how to listen. Then the one son was able to forgive the other son and his father and start operating as team members rather than adversaries. So first the individual and then the team, and then finally the third benefit that we provide companies is improving business results, because when individuals and teams are functioning at a high level, business will improve dramatically. So, like in another example we had a company where sales were flat and they virtually had no profits for 5 years. And then after we worked with them, they had their sales doubled in the first 3 years and profitability increased more than 10 times. And this is a combination. This is where the vision really hits in, as well as everyone has a powerful mindset and relationships that enable them to work together better. And so these are just some basics benefits of how we make things better at work, because it's kind of a combination approach. It's not just one thing that you can pick on.
Oh, so I can't take, you know, three of the four and feel like I made it. You're going to make me do everything.
Yes. Well, you want to do everything. That's the thing, is when people are doing this, they're just so happy and excited to get rid of all the stuff that's been weighing them down, and the realizing, because some people don't even realize that they're not working effectively. They don't realize that they're pissing other people off or upsetting people or, you know, because people don't communicate about those things. So people are unintentionally, for the most part, not doing well or not playing their part. And so that's why it doesn't work. And so once you learn how to do something, I don't want to say it's like learning how to golf. Once you learn, you go, oh, great, now I can golf without thinking about it. It's kind of like that. It's you learn some new skills, and you're happy and ready to go and energized, and then it shows up. And when you have a clear vision, like, okay, this is what we want to do, then you know what you're going to do, and there's no wasting time about getting sidetracked on little things. Or when you have turnover, that creates sidetracking as well. So it's focusing on the vision and rallying the individuals and the team to produce results, and people love that. They want to be happy at work.
Well, you know, and I really like your program, and I like the approach that you take, which is sort of a holistic approach, my words, not yours, but mm-hmm. that says we're not going to work off of a checklist. We're going to work on the whole group, the whole person, and create a better environment for people to work in, and the results follow. So, mm-hmm. you know, I know that's what your book, The Unshackled Leadership, talks about, and that's what you've kind of explained to us today. Hey, I want to change gears for a second here. Talk to us a little bit about Executive Coaches of Orange County and what you do with nonprofits.
Okay. So this is really fun for me to talk about, because I love coaching, number one, and I love coaching the nonprofits because they are giving back. That's probably why I just realized it as I said it. One of my core values is paying it forward, and that's what nonprofits are about. So I have a passion for that. And Executive Coaches of Orange County, they've been around since 2003, and they help, it's a group of retired executives who help nonprofits fulfill their mission, their goals, and be successful. So what we do is we provide, at no charge, a coach, executive coach, for the leaders in the nonprofit. So it could be just one executive director, or it could be a manager or a director. Usually we like to have coaches for all the top people, because like the work we do in Unshackled Leadership, when everybody's being coached, it's more effective. So there's about 20 of us who are coaches, and we serve around 66 nonprofit organizations. I would say many of the people who volunteer their time, a lot of them are retired HR executives or top level people, and a lot of them have come through SCORE, which is connected with a Small Business Administration, where they do coaching and classes and things like that for people in business. But this is a special group of people that volunteer our time to coach on a one-to-one the executives. We also offer executive director forums, which is groups of executives that come together to share and learn. We do team trainings. We go in and help them do strategic planning or creating their vision. We train them on risk management, board development, and fund development. So it's a really great program. I would say many of our clients are the smaller nonprofits who don't have a budget for coaching, and so this is a great opportunity for them to get some coaching. But we do have some larger coaching clients as well.
And what I like is that you've got such a diverse group of people that are volunteering, that you bring coaching skills, but you also bring some business skills to the table too, to help the nonprofit
and running their business. What's really great about this organization, the diversity, because, for example, if I have a client, in fact, I had a client, she came and what she said was, oh, I want help on marketing and PR. That's one of the things that I want. And when I started poking around, you know, kind of assessing interviewing her in the beginning, I realized that the problem that she couldn't market and PR her organization is because they didn't have a clear vision. So we had to work on that. But when it comes time to work on PR and marketing, we have somebody in our group who's just really an expert at that. So I got them to meet, and we don't do consulting, but we help people get resources that they need. So if someone has a better expertise or a background in that area, they may be able to refer them to different resources or such. Or fundraising is a big challenge for nonprofit organizations, and we have some people who worked as in their career in nonprofits doing fundraising, and some people who continue to be involved in that. So when we need help, we just bring in another coach to help. And so that's like, it takes a village. So we use our village to make sure that they get all the help they need.
Well, look, you've got an opportunity here. We've got an audience of coaches. Do you need any more people to help out? And if so, how would they go about it?
In executive coaches of Orange County, yes. We're always looking for coaches who would be a good fit for the organization. And when I say be a good fit, it's the minimum that we ask someone to do is to have one client and coach them once or twice a month and to be committed to it for at least a year. And we like to get coaches like myself who are trained in coaching, or people who have just great experience that they either in HR or mentoring executives, because we've got some really sharp people. So if there's a coach out there listening, or an HR person that wants to volunteer some time, or they're retired and, you know, they're looking for a way to make their life more meaningful and give back, we are always interested in talking to new people. So at the end, we can give my email and they can contact me, and also the website for EC of OC, which is ecofoc.org. They can check out the website, see the type of some of the clients that we currently have and some of the current coaches.
And let me just point out one thing, I'm not sure the impression I got from listening is correct. We've talked about coaches that are retired and offering their services, but I sort of had the impression from the meeting that you invited me to, where I was able to meet the people in the group, that probably at least half of them were not really retired, but they donate a portion of their time to do this. Is that valid?
That's true. Some of them are retired, some of them are not. There's like a combination. And there's another gal who's a trained coach like me, and she's got a great coaching practice, and so that's her business as well as giving back. And then a lot of the coaches also volunteer their time for SCORE, where they do business consulting, I would call it, more through SCORE.
Okay. So those coaches out there listening today, I mean, you don't have to be retired to donate your time to help a nonprofit. You might have a full busy schedule, but maybe you've got, I mean, who doesn't have time to take on at least one client a couple times a month and make a year commitment? And, you know, it's like everything else. The more people we coach, the more we learn and sharpen our coaching skills, and it's a two-way street. So get a hold of Lois and look into this. This is a very impressive group. Well, Lois, we're getting towards the end here. I've interrupted you probably about 6 million times by my count. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about or say more about that you didn't get out to the audience today?
Yes, I would love to share with the audience that I'm doing a workshop in September, a live workshop, September 10th, and people can contact me with my email. I just sent out my big blast notice about it, and I'm really excited. And it's on creating a winning atmosphere at work, which is another way of saying making things better at work. And all the key principles that we talked about and the key benefits, that I will be covering that in the workshop and going into a lot more detail. So I'm really excited about sharing all that with people. So if anyone is interested in participating, it's going to be in Lake Forest Foothill Ranch area. So it's in Orange County. And I would invite everyone to come.
Now, is this an all-day seminar?
No, it's only, thanks for clarifying that. It's going to be from 8:30 to 12:30, so they can still go back to work.
Okay. And who are you targeting this for? Give me an idea of some of the people that you're, you know, where are they coming from?
Mm-hmm. Well, most likely they're going to be people in Orange County, but if they're brave and they want to drive in from a longer distance, you know. But it's really toward small to medium-sized businesses, the leaders in those organizations. And also the work would apply to corporate teams, groups. So if you belong to a large corporation, let's say like Taco Bell, and you want your department to come and learn about this, it would be to that group as well. And then, of course, if there's any nonprofits out there that want to come, it's mainly for leaders.
Okay, great. And they can find out about it by going where?
If they email me, lois@unshackledleadership.com, then I can send them all the information.
Okay. And any other questions anybody has about today's conversation, you can email lois@unshackledleadership.com, or you can go to the website, which is unshackledleadership.com.
Yeah.
And if you want to go to the Executive Coaches of Orange County, that's ecofoc.org. So drop the com. And you've also, you're on LinkedIn also, Lois?
I'm on LinkedIn. Yeah, I can be reached through LinkedIn. And I am going to be posting this week my workshop information on LinkedIn as well. So I'm really excited to have people come and learn about how to make things better at work. It's a great opportunity. So,
well, Lois, thank you very much for joining us today and sharing with us your ideas on how to make things better at work and the work of Unshackled Leadership, and also the opportunities to help out the nonprofits through EC of OC. We're pleased to have you here. We'll look forward to having you come back, and just thank you for becoming part of the Coaching Perspective radio show business community.
Oh, thank you so much. My pleasure.
Great. Thanks. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too.
Just want to thank you for listening today. It's a pleasure being with you and sharing some of the best ideas and best practices from coaches and HR professionals and business leaders here in Orange County, and actually not just Orange County, predominantly Orange County, but we've reached out quite a bit. Had Barry Demp from Michigan just 2 weeks ago. So that was great. And if you missed that, you want to listen to it. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off, saying thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. I hope you enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use immediately to identify and achieve your goals.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.